Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Scott, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Jen, who is here to talk with us about the Africa Project. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for hosting today.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us. So please tell us, what's going on with Living Compassion and our friends in Cantalomba?
And our friends in Cantalomba, yeah. So we realized that we talked about the huge success of the bridge walk a while back, just after the walk
yes.
in October, and that it might be fun to bring people up to speed about what all that success is facilitating those many miles away in Zambia. So It's fun because you know, one of the things that we've been wanting to do for quite some time, and really it came together sort of logistically, I guess you could say, at the same time that we had that big success in the bridge walk campaign. And so it allowed us to immediately implement it, which is having the meals also happen on the weekends instead of just Monday through Friday. And so I think they're in there. Let's see, so today's Tuesday. I think this last Saturday was their third Saturday of Saturday and Sunday of having meals at the property as well. And that has been huge, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I imagine huge, obviously, for the kids who are being fed and the cooperative members. And what a relief to families. I think you wrote in the monastery newsletter about how the economy is not doing so well in Zambia, and so there's an especial pressure on families. So that weekend food has just got to be a huge support to everyone.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And I think, I can't remember if we alluded to this before, but so just to give people a little bit of a sense of it, so when we were last there about 9 months or so ago, between then and now, the exchange rate of the Zambian kwacha to the dollar has tripled. So what that means is that they're, you know, it's an indication that the economy in Zambia is very, very weak right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, what happens is their buying power, you know, with the kwacha that any average Zambian person has goes way, way down. And, of course, you know, the wages don't go up. You know, it's not as if the people in business say, oh, okay, well, now we better triple your salary. So you're right. There's a huge strain on families. And, I mean, the excitement from Teresa and the team at implementing this was just so moving to see that they were. And they brought on four new members of the cooperative in order to make it happen. So it's not just putting extra strain on all the existing staff. They put in four people, which they're always thrilled to do because, of course, there are so many good candidates of folks in Cantalomba, and that Living Compassion created a reputation for itself over the 10 years that we've been there as being a mental organization that really stands out in the sense
Hey, Jen? Jen?
Yeah.
You're breaking up a little bit, and I'm not sure if that's me or you, but maybe
you
could just...
Oh, it's probably me. Thank you.
I can hear you.
Is this better?
I can hear you. Yeah, it is, actually.
Okay, good. So let me just give you a quick kind of what I was just talking about is how over the years of Living Compassion being in Cantalomba, they've really created a reputation for themselves of standing out as an unusual NGO, non-governmental organization, in that they're such a supportive community to one another, to each other, and to the whole community. And so when I said to Teresa, Teresa, you know, will there be four people you can bring on, do you feel like, to add to this weekend team? And she said, oh, no problem. No problem. There are so many people. Every day people are asking me to be part of this team. So that's a really moving part of it as well.
Yeah, it's so moving that there's so much willingness and people want to be a part of this. It really stands out.
Yeah, so much willingness, so much desire to help. And then we're actually traveling to Zambia in mid actually late January. We'll be on the ground, I think it's like the 24th or 25th we land of January, and we'll be there for a couple of weeks. So that's a little blog commercial. People can start watching for blogs in the very end of January, early February. We'll start sending news.
That's very exciting. And if you haven't been looking at the blogs yet, it's a great time to start. It's just so amazing. I don't know how it happens, but every time I read those, I feel like I'm actually there participating. I don't know how that works, but it's really terrific. So thank you for that.
I love that. Yeah, I love when people say that, that it really, because that's what we're, you know, that's what we want. I mean, of course, we wish everyone could be there with us. And of course, everyone is there with us in the sense of it just happens to be a few lucky folks who get to be the representatives, but it's really, truly the whole Sangha who's allowing to have happen what's happening there. And the team is so, they completely get that. You know, they're always happy to see whoever arrives at the airport, big hugs. But they're always talking about, please tell the whole team in America. That's the way they often put it. Tell the whole team in America, you know, that we love them and that we appreciate everything. So it is fun. And I know we have a few more minutes left, so I do want to just tell folks the really big thing that's on the horizon and the thing that we'll be putting a lot of time and energy into when we're there on this trip is deepening the girls program. So, you know, we've talked a lot about that over the years, the really big challenges that especially girls are up against in Cantalumba. And what's had us really looking at that is that the first 100 children, you know, we did that video, you know, when we were very first there. Those kids who are teeny tiny, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, these are the kids who are now entering high school. And it's extraordinary the success that some of these, especially girls, are having. It tends to be when you get to like grade 6, grade 7, grade 8, each of those years, progressively more and more, it's way more boys in school than girls. Way more.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said extraordinary. We could maybe say it's a miracle, the progression that they're making. And that they're, I think that we call it the stay in school program.
Yep.
That against kind of all those odds, that they're there. They're participating. And I saw in the little news section on the Africa Vulnerable Children Project page, pictures of the girls and staying in school. And it was just so fun to see that, them passing those grade 7 test into grade 8.
Yeah, that's a miracle. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, is that they did, all of the girls who are in that program, who are under that tutelage of the Living Compassion program there, passed their exams, grade 7 to grade 8. And that's just, I mean, that is truly a miracle. I mean, it really is. So Sherry had a really huge insight as we were doing our strategic planning process this year. And essentially what we're going to implement, and we'll be looking at the details of this on this trip, and I'm sure we'll write about it in the blog as it unfolds, but what we're introducing to a group of about 25 girls, and we'll see, because I know it's going to just, there's so many, but sort of a pilot program with these 25 girls of completely supporting them through these critical years. And in a very holistic way, including taking care of all of their financial needs, down to things like that, you know, we wouldn't think of, but money for them to have to buy soap for themselves, to buy laundry powder for themselves, to buy the things that that we would completely take for granted. But for a young girl in Cantalumba, I mean, her family doesn't usually have the funds for those sorts of things, let alone herself. And what Sherry's insight was essentially was that what we need to do is to demonstrate for the girls what it is to be able to be self-sustaining financially, because they have no role models for that. And so to say, you know, come on, stay in school, it's a really good idea, there's just no one in their community that they're looking at that would say, that they could say, oh, I see why that's a good idea. They don't have any experience in that. So essentially what this pilot program is to give them an experience of actually having, being able to, in a sense, support themselves. So their job, you know, if you will, is going to be to stay in school, to pass their exams. I mean, it's going to be a very rigorous kind of a thing. They're going to be have so much support for that, so much mentoring, and that will be their job. And for their job, they'll have their financial needs taken care of, just like we grown-ups, right? We go to work, we do the job we do, and then because of that, we're able to meet our own financial needs. So they're actually going to be able to have the experience that they'll have once they graduate, get, you know, get a skill and be able to have a job. They're going to have that experience now in order to give them that huge support that it's going to need to get them past those hurdles.
Wow. That is brilliant. And the modeling is their own experience. And what we're doing as a Sangha is just simply supporting them and having that experience.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. Yep, precisely. Yeah.
Boy, and I just imagine that's that. Oh, go ahead.
No, please. You just imagine.
Well, I was just imagining, again, it's like we're all doing this together, you know, as we are kind of starting out, you know, that the community there sort of all rooting for each other. They're you know, in gratitude and cheering on the Sangha here. And then we're cheering on the girls, and the girls are cheering on each other. And it's just like, wow, it just feels like there's nothing that can't be done with that kind of support.
I got goosebumps as you said that. I'm not going to give it away because I wrote about it for the next newsletter, but Teresa's email when she read Sherry's idea was so moving. And one of the things that's so exciting is that what the girls are going to get to start to see is that, and this is what Teresa's been meeting with them already, and they've been having unbelievable conversations, but what the girls are starting to understand is that they are the future for their whole community. They have so much ability to transform the lives. I mean, these girls who are like 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 years old, who normally are just at the lowest rung, right? I mean, they're just not a priority. They're not important. They're not. And suddenly they're in a position that is truly, they have the ability to bring the whole community with them, and it's really fabulously fun.
It is fabulously fun and inspiring, you know. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jen. I think we're a little bit over our time. That was awesome, and we'll be very excited to follow along with the unfolding in the blogs.
Good. And I want to say one more thing, unrelated.
Okay.
But I want to give people in the Sangha a chance to, starting in the new year, we're going to be giving more detail about it, but there's part of our year-long theme, we're going to be going through the new book, The Big Bamboozle, together as a Sangha. I think we talked about on the Good News Update a little while ago that it's structured in this really beautiful way where there are exercises to do each week. And we're about mid-January, we're going to start through doing that book together as a whole Sangha. So we just wanted to give people a heads up starting now in case they want to order the book so that they're poised and ready to do that mid-January. So just a little commercial FYI there.
Great. Thank you for that heads up. That sounds like an amazing opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Jen. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry now.
Okay, great. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Jen. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
Well, that was amazing.
Wasn't that amazing?
Amazing conversation.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Wow. There's so much excitement there. And I wanted to say, make something clear to people who maybe are new to the project and have been following along with us. You know, these opportunities that are now available to the girls have always been available to the boys. Not the same specific. I have a little. You can tell, right? Sound like an adolescent boy, don't I? My voice is going to change here any minute now. excuse me. I got a little thing going on. The boys. You know, it's in that culture, as many places actually still around the world, like the U.S., there's an assumption that males will be the breadwinners. And so the opportunities are there for them. The family, if somebody's going to stay in school, it's going to be the boy. It's never the girl, never. It just isn't. And so the boys have always had the support from us. We do everything we can to keep them in school. And while that same offer has been available to girls, because it's not a priority for anybody, it was just not available to them. And by the time, you know, as we've talked about before, by the time they're 12 or 13 or 14 or whatever, they've got a baby and their fate is sealed. So that's what makes this so extraordinary, is that it's giving these girls a chance to have an experience that that it is, as people, you know, Scott and Jen were trying to indicate, is just completely unheard of. And many, of course, service organizations, people working in developing nations and in doing the kind of work that we're doing, acknowledge that it's educating girls and making opportunities available to women that has the greatest potential to transform a community. So that's what we're really excited about this. I didn't want anybody to think the boys are being left behind, because they're certainly not. We've always had a commitment to any of the kids who showed an interest in getting through school, that we will support them to get through school, pay for their school, their books, their tutoring, their anything else. And in the first ones who are ready to go to college, we're going to send them to college. So this is an equal opportunity now in every sense of the word. Everybody has the same chance at a future.
Wow. Wow. And I just saw, as you were talking there, that for these girls, every message they've received so far is, as Jen and Scott said, is, you know, you don't matter and you're not important. And it sounds like with this new program, they're going to get the complete opposite programming from every level.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's going to be such a message because, you know, there's no judgment about what anybody is doing. You know, when you have essentially 100% unemployment, you really can't blame anybody for not striving too hard to change their circumstances, because it's just not possible to do. But still, there's such a difference in the way boys and girls are perceived, the way men and women are perceived. And it's true, girls are the lowest of the low. Women are a breeding opportunity. Girls are, you know, just useless, basically.
Yeah.
And so to have this possibility for them is going to also help them see something that they have watched all of their lives but never recognized, I would suspect, never recognized it for what it is. And that is the people primarily who are making Living Compassion in Cantalomba work are women. The ones who feed them, the ones who take care of them, the ones that, and of course Teresa, who we would all nominate for sainthood in a minute. is one of the strongest, most powerful, intelligent people that anybody could ever want to run across, and she's leading this program. And so I think the girls are going to have an opportunity to put that together, that there are just so many things that they're going to be able to do, and that they'll, like Teresa and the other folks in the community, in Living Compassion there, they'll be able to help not only themselves and their own family, but the whole community. It really is, we've done a lot of exciting stuff there. As with everything else, as we see with ourselves with awareness practice, you know, we work and we have an insight and we bring it to fruition, and then the next thing opens up for us, the next awareness, the next insight is there. And we see that so clearly in Cantalomba, that it's been a beautiful progression of first this need is met, and then they began to work to make that solid, and then that opened up the next thing that we needed to focus on, and then they implemented that and made it solid. And now, 10 years later, we're ready for this program. So it's something. And, of course, you know, they say everybody in America, they don't understand. I don't know if they do or they don't, but that it's a whole worldwide. I mean, I think we talked to them about it, but they see everything coming from the United States. But it really is a worldwide endeavor. People are contributing to this from every part of the world. So it's something to feel mighty good about.
No kidding. It's great. Mm-hmm. Can I make a quick comment about the food on the weekend?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, in my privileged life, the weekend is kind of something I look forward to and have a little more time, and I still have all the food I want. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have food on the weekend, that's not something to look forward to.
That is not something to look forward to. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No.
So that's,
while it's true that there are some families there who can eke out enough to, you know, put some mealy meal on the table once a day, you know, for their kids, most people can't. So, yeah, it's 2 days without food. And I just, I mean, they never complain, but I just can't imagine that that's anything a person would ever actually get used to. So, and the thing that I love about it, when it occurred to us and when we had the financial ability to do it, which is what made the big difference, is that it also, that place, that center is just the hub of all good things that happen in Cantalumba. And they love to be there. They all love to be there. And so instead of closing the whole thing down on Friday afternoon, they all go off to do what, you know, once again, they're there. And I haven't actually talked to Jen about it, as we were saying that, you know, Sunday is a very big deal for them because everybody goes to church and it's just a big church family day, that sort of thing. And I said, well, that's great. You know, make it in the afternoon. Everybody gets out of church and come back to the center there and cook up a big meal and like that, and then go home for the evening. Well, it doesn't have to be midday. So I'm hoping that that's what they're going to do, so that every day is an opportunity to be together in community and enjoy one another and be fed.
Yes. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. And I have some announcements here, unless there's something else you would
share. No, that's good. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. There is no show next week. That's Tuesday, December 29th, because of the New Year's retreat.
That's right. That's where we're going to be, huh?
Yes. And Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And the registration deadline for the next quarter is January 1st. So sign up now.
Mm-hmm. And welcome, I did January. Just learn today, Michael, that that we have had, I think, 2 cancellations, last minute people too sick to attend and that sort of thing for the New Year's retreat. So if there's somebody who thinks, oh, I wish I could have, but I missed the deadline, we could probably squeeze you in if you let us know.
Wow, great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And also in January, Sangha will launch a new year of practice opportunities. You'll want to register soon for a free video workshop on January 16th with you, Sherry, kicking off the new year.
Mm-hmm. Find out what we're going to be up to next year.
Yes, yes. And join us for a number of exciting practice opportunities in the 2016 year-long retreat, which is entitled Anjali, Emptying Your Teacup. And this retreat includes some fabulous practice support as we explore what we have to give up in order to see what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And finally, a practice weekend, January 22nd through 24th, provides an opportunity to get away from it all, and deepen conscious, compassionate awareness in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murfreesboro, California.
That's right. Bring your long johns.
And so for these opportunities and a complete listing of programs and retreats for 2016, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1 on your phone. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay, here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia. Hi. You sound very, very far away.
Do I? Okay, hold on. Is this better?
Let me see. Say it again.
Can you hear me now better?
Yes. Nope. Yes, you still want to project, but yes,
project.
I can hear you.
Hold on just a second. Okay, how's this?
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Just wanted to call and check in and just say how practice is going, how practice is working in my life.
Good. Good. Love to hear.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of things. Just one, I wanted to tell you that it's been really, really helpful, all the encouragement and support we have to recognize that conditioned mind, what I guess what I've been seeing is how conditioned mind is not me. And it seems, Sherry, that the more I see that I'm not it or it's not me, it's like the more insights I get, and the more insights I get, the more I see that it's not me.
Oh, and, so beautifully stated.
Yes.
Yes.
And the other component of that, I just want to share with you because it's very exciting to me, is that it's getting clear that, or it is really clear that a lot of things that in the past I have not been willing to expose or share was because I thought I was it. I thought that
yes.
was me. And
yes.
And there was so much shame in thinking that was me that I couldn't even talk about stuff. And now as I go along seeing more and more that it's not me, it becomes much easier to blow the whistle on it, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Whistleblowing, that's a very good image for it. That's exactly
yeah.
what it is, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And just, it feels really freeing. I just
yes.
can't tell you the stuff that I was in bondage to before because it meant something about, I believed it meant something about me. And now starting to see that that's just conditioned mind. I mean, that's just, it has nothing to do with me. It's been really liberating.
Yes, because, so there are at least a couple of aspects of that, it seems to me. Like, sometimes what the voices of egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate do is talk people into doing things that we like to call unfortunate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've talked a person into doing that, then they beat the person up for having done it. And the whole thing implies that that's you. You're the one doing that. So what, as soon as a person realizes, wait a minute, that's a voice talking me into doing these things and then beating me up afterwards, you know,
yeah.
it had to talk me into it because it wouldn't have occurred to me to do that otherwise,
right.
to feel that
yeah.
way, to think that way, to behave that way, right? So there's a whole mm-hmm. campaign to get somebody to think or feel or be a particular way that then they get beat up over. So,
right.
and there's actual action with that, right? So
yeah.
whatever it is, you know, you eat that gallon of ice cream or,
yeah.
you know, go out for a beer and drink yourself senseless or, you know, whatever it is that people get talked into doing. But then there's the another element of it, which is really, I don't know what to call it, it's all ugly, where the person isn't even doing anything, but they are made to believe that simply having negative or nasty or ugly or whatever it is, thoughts pass through their mind means something about them.
Right.
So I'm a hateful person. Mm-hmm. I'm a hateful person because these hateful thoughts are in my mind. And what I haven't done is pay close enough attention to realize I didn't think those things. They just appeared there. And then I got blamed for their appearance.
Right. Well, and that's I totally am with you. And I guess what's coming up for me is, I'm just thinking of an instance where this happened and I was able to see it, but I was going to say that's because it slides in the you're bad for having the thought part. It's been believed for so long that it's just like the sun comes up in the morning and that's the way that this belief or this thought is true.
And it takes a lot of paying attention, doesn't it, to break it down, and a lot of courage to face it, to want to look at it closely enough to see what's actually going on. But when we do, when we begin to get it, that that voice that's talking about, that's not me. I'm not saying that. Right. I'm not thinking that stuff. I'm listening to it. I'm watching it, but I'm not generating it. So why should I? Not only that, not only am I not generating it, I can't stop it.
Right. Yeah, precisely. And you hit the first one right on the head too, Sherry, because that the first one for me were some behaviors that had been happening, processes, behaviors that have been happening my whole life. And for me, it was really helpful to see it as a system that operates, say, outside
very
of me.
Close to you.
Very close to
me. Very near you.
Yeah, very near me, but I can even see, I can see the system, and it's not me, it's the system that runs the wheel, you know, whatever. Can I say one other thing here?
Oh, please.
Okay, well, I just got to share this other thing, and I want to try to give the high-level summary, but also a lot of gratitude that for this, what we say in practice, that it's all happening for me rather than to me. And I think this is all the part about seeing that it's not me, and it allows me to see, has been allowing me to see some very deeply held beliefs that conditioned mind had been using to torture me and to reinforce the karma that I came into life with. And let's see. So around the... So can't remember exactly where I was going, except that when these beliefs are seen, just pause here for a second. Some beliefs have been seen that it's been using to reinforce self-hatred and feeling unloved, and when those beliefs were seen, I started to, and it was around my family. I started to realize that. Number one, the things that I had been believing, like interpreting behaviors in a certain way, were so totally conditioned that I started to imagine if I was in a different culture that those behaviors could be interpreted entirely differently, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And that secondly, I had no idea of what those behaviors really meant. It was all a story that was built up, constructed, you know, with thought. And then what happened was I just started to really get down on my knees and thank the universe, because I started to see how perfect it is that I came into this life with the family I came into this life with, because they have given me the gift of showing me the karma and the way out of the karma.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a grand and glorious thing?
really been great, Sherry. I can't tell you how grateful I am.
Yeah. I just had that conversation with somebody recently. Well, my daughter, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And, you know, mothers and daughters, they can be a dicey, challenging little relationship.
Yeah.
And what we both agreed about is that without every, excuse me just one second, without every single step, especially perhaps, but certainly including those that would be considered missteps, mm-hmm. we would not be who we are.
Ah.
And as soon as we realize how fortunate we are to be who we are, to see what we see and know what we know and all of that, then we cannot have a moment's regret about anything.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, no regret. In fact, I can see it as a gift, you know.
Yeah.
It's like my family, they're my teachers, and in a really big way, and in a way that's beautiful too, Sherry, because a lot of my karma is around feeling unloved and not belonging, and to be able to see it a different way. I don't know how to say this, but
go ahead.
Well, to be with the people that I've been for so long interpreting it to mean this thing about me and about the karma and about feeling unloved, and now to be with them and to know that that's not true.
This is not true.
Whatever the I is, whatever I thinks it is, it's never what I thinks it is.
Yes. 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 In fact, I mention this periodically, but there's a group of us who are doing a workshop on money and business and all of this stuff, and in which we face all of our worst horrors and nightmares. And one of the things that people have seen most clearly out of doing that workshop is that whatever conditioned mind says is so is just about 100% of the time exactly not so. So it says, you know, that person is going to love this. Well, they're not. They're going to hate it. But, you know, don't say anything to that person because they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
They'd never want to, and that's the person who wants it. So, you know, with families and with those kinds of relationships, you know, a story can get started, a simple story of they don't like me.
Yes.
And once we buy that story, they don't like me, then mm-hmm. conditioned mind is interpreting every look, every word, every mm-hmm. gesture through
right.
the filter, through that lens of they don't like me.
Yes.
And once that happens, well, son of a gun, it's true. Right? It really, I mean, anybody can see. He wouldn't look at me that way if he liked me.
Right.
Right? And because then we're heavily conditioned not to check it out, you know,
right.
did you look at me that way because you don't like me? Well, you can't say that. You can't say that. Now, why can't you say that? Well, because, you know, you're going to have an authentic conversation that's going to reveal that all of this conditioning is a lie. That's
right.
why you can't say it. Right?
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Well, and the shame that's involved in thinking it's me, there's something wrong with me that they don't like, you know, believing that this story is me or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what are you going to ask? It's obvious they don't like you.
Right.
And you're going to bring it up and ask so that they have a chance to say, yes, I don't like you. I wish you would stop coming here.
Right.
And, of course, that's all just about never going to happen.
Right. And,
but, again,
and in fact,
once we believe it,
yes, once we believe it, it's tough going. And in fact, I have if one turns the stones over a little bit, it's not hard to see that the people you're with they're involved with their own conversation around self-hate and feeling insecure and projecting and everything else and needing really love and acceptance. Is what's really happening in those relationships that both people are asking for and love and acceptance.
Yes. Unconditional love and acceptance. That's
yeah.
what everybody's looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. It's totally
yeah.
it.
And as you know from doing this practice, the fastest way to get that unconditional love and acceptance is to give it.
Is to give it, precisely. That is exactly it, Sherry. In fact, you brought it all around because in the end, what the lesson is, for me anyway, what I'm seeing is it's all love. It's life giving me this loving, what seemed to be a loving conundrum, which is now, not that I'm entirely out of the maze or the conundrum, but life giving me this loving lesson to show me that it's all about love.
Love. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That the content and the process, we in the beginning, the content and the process seem to be about a lack of love,
yes.
a lack of love and acceptance, yeah. right? And then you go through the whole process and the content are revealed to be all about unconditional
yeah.
love and acceptance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It just makes me...
It's like a little yeah. Christmas story, isn't it?
It is totally. It's totally. It's such a delightful, amazing. Just can't even mind can't wrap around it. It's so cool.
That, yes. Right. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry,
that makes me so happy.
Thank you. I'm so happy too, and I'm just very grateful. Thank you to you, to Michael, to all the participants in the Sangha. I know I'm supported in ways that I don't even realize. So.
And you're supporting in those same ways.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that
yes.
good?
Yeah, it's
good to
great.
Take that in too, huh?
I'll take it in.
All right, good.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you,
right.
Virginia. Take
bye-bye.
Care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. Sherry, I had chills and tears during the good news, and now it's just off the charts. It's just amazing.
It really is, isn't it?
It is.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm very blessed. And now we're going to hear from our coaches program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk to more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
This year's theme is Training to Live in This Here Now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, boy, sure. This is George.
Well, hello, George. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you, Sherry and Michael? It's so good to be in touch. It's been a while.
Uh-huh. I think we're both good.
Yeah.
Are you good, Michael?
Yeah. You betcha.
He's good.
You betcha.
Yeah. He's busy out back there with the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that I wanted to call in, and I thought, well, what is it that I want to say? And I think it has to do with a metaphor that you've used, and it's a classic Buddhist metaphor, I guess. The wheel of karma, you know, is turning in a certain direction, and at a certain point, it stops and begins to turn in another direction, in a kind of an unraveling, I guess, direction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in a much more joyous and liberating direction, I guess you would say, direction toward liberation. And that's what I feel like. That's what I feel like has occurred with me fairly recently, I guess over the last year. I mean, I've been working away with, especially with recording and listening has been my dear companion for years now, ever since we started doing it. And I kept at it because I was just so desperately needed to do it. You know, I mean, it was
lifeline.
A lifeline, absolutely. And so that it's my companion that I carry with me at all times. I listen to it all night when I'm asleep. I listen to it, you know, whenever I'm in the car. It's constantly with me. It's always in my shirt pocket, and you know, I'm constantly adding to it, and it's just, it's really been transformative. It's really, as I say, finally the wheel has started to turn in a so much better direction.
You and Virginia are really saying the same thing, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Really, yeah.
That's what she was describing of life goes along and that wheel is turning in that direction of, oh, God, Lord.
Yeah.
And we just keep practicing and working and looking and seeing and showing up and doing our best. And then at some point, miraculously, something shifts. And we have that realization that that there's possibility, there's hope for us. And then all that work that we've been doing starts paying off for us because we are now going in a different direction from oh no to yes.
I always think of one of Trungpa's lines when it comes to this is ego wears itself out like an old shoe journeying from suffering to liberation. And that's really what it's felt like. It's been a wearing down, you know, just a wearing down of conditioned mind. It's been so liberating. And something Virginia was saying too was that you know, you stop looking for love and looking for acceptance, and you become love and acceptance.
Yes.
You become it.
Yeah.
You live it. You know, it's in your eyes, it's in your smile, it's in your thoughts, it's in your heart. It's, you know, you become it.
Yes.
It's not out there somewhere. It's to find, you know, and to get. And somebody's going to give it to you. I mean, someone may give it to you from time to time, but there's no way to control
it's
that
not the same.
For sure.
Right, and it's not
and
the
no,
same, is
yeah.
it?
No,
mm-hmm.
no. So I am just in love with loving. I mean, in love with accepting everyone, people that, and I notice. You know, I notice conditioned mind saying, oh, well, this person is not as well-educated as I am, or this person is so much better at, you know, playing the guitar than I am, or this person, and then, you know, there's this conditioned reaction of, oh, well, I'm not good enough here, or I'm better than here, or something like that. It's still there. I mean, I still notice it, but I know what it is. And it's like, I step beyond it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to
you
stay
no
there.
You no longer believe
know?
It's you. You no longer believe it's you doing that. Right.
Exactly.
It's an old habit.
An old habit. Yeah. An old something that, not who we are, but something that we've been inculcated with or get or taught mm-hmm. or, you know, picked up.
Brainwashed.
From the karmic cloud or whatever it is. Yeah, brainwashed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And another thing that you said once was, I think you wrote it to me in one of the email classes, it's something about, I hope we'll both prove that recording and listening will be able to overcome the most difficult depression, something like that. Those aren't mm-hmm. the words, but something like that. And really, that I can say, yes, it has.
It has.
It has. It has.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have. I would
we
say.
Have.
Yeah. That is true for me as well.
Yeah.
It's not even depression is not even anything that I particularly think about anymore, except
yeah.
the awareness
yeah.
that it's gone. And
yeah.
it's practice. You
yeah.
know, when you were talking about, I don't remember at what point, but what dropped in was that, again, a Buddhist view of things where, you know, we're encouraged and we don't believe it, okay, but we're deeply encouraged that all you have to do is sit down on that cushion. Just sit down on that cushion and sit there. And if you do that often enough and for long enough, all the magic is going to happen for you. And, of course, those voices are going crazy saying, that's not possible, you're not doing it right, you should be this, it should be that. You're never going to. But what you're saying, in essence, is that. You just
yeah.
keep showing up
yeah.
and keep
yep.
practicing.
Yep. Yep.
And
that's what we're here
happens.
For. Yeah.
That's right. It wears away that ego orientation. And
yeah. Yeah.
It's nothing we're doing. It's not like we're wearing it away. It's we're doing something. We're showing up. We're participating. We're
yeah.
practicing. Instead
yeah.
of maintaining ego. And in that process, the wheel, she starts going in the happy direction.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We finally see through that illusion of separation, you know, that ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love
wonderful.
It. It is. It's so
yeah.
wonderful. I'm so
yeah.
happy, George. What a long road it's been. And,
oh,
and worth
God.
Every step. Every just
every
so grateful
step.
For every
no
step.
No regrets. Yep. As
yep.
you as it was already as Virginia also said, you were also saying no regrets.
Yeah.
Every step, you know, was part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely essential.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care.
Okay. You too.
Great to hear from you. All right.
Oh,
good night, George.
Great to be heard from. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George, and another fabulous conversation. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, well, George and I, we knew each other when we were kids, depressed kids. and so we do know one another's practice journey that has taken us to that different place. So, yeah.
Yes, wonderful.
Very good. Sangha, you know, Sangha, you hang around long enough and you've just seen so many miracles that there's just no doubt in your mind that this possibility is available to any and everyone who wants it. That's all we have to do. We just have to choose it.
Yes, yes, and especially with the support you've offered us with recording and listening and technology, it's just really amazingly fabulous.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, we'd have no excuses.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned this recently, you know, where somebody like Dogen is going to go visit another teacher somewhere. You know, he's gone for 9-10 months.
Yeah.
Right? 9 or 10 months of travel to get to somebody to ask a question, right? And and then here we are, you know. So it's I mean, I'm not saying it's easier. The same fire has to be burning in our hearts, whether it's to, you know, put your little possessions on your back and take off for a few thousand mile walk, or it's facing what you have to face to get past the resistance to you know, call into the radio show or get on an email or reflective listening buddies or whatever somebody is attempting to do for their practice. It still takes that willingness and that desire for something different. But it's true. There is so much more support available for us now. It's a good time to be alive, as I'm fond of pointing out.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, great.
Who are you?
This is Andrea calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Yes, now I recognize your voice. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I really enjoyed those conversations, those two conversations.
Good.
Yeah, I could really relate to them a lot. And I don't know if I have anything. I guess I'm actually right now kind of in a stunned state because my neighbor across the way died suddenly today, and I just found out about an hour ago. So anyway, I've been calling the show for a while, and I guess I just got on tonight. So I guess that's what I'm looking at, kind of, or just kind of being in a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. So, we know these kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
We never expect them to. It's always a shock when they do.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I just wanted to connect, too. It's been a while since I called in, and so, yeah, I'm not really sure, you know, what more to say, but
So, can you say a little bit about what you're feeling now with this shock?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of like. I can kind of see conditioning coming, you know, conversation coming in, but I don't know. It's kind of, I guess, a disbelief is what's in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We, again, one of those things, you have a scientific bent, as I know. And so the mechanics of how things work, you understand very well. Excuse me. And so what we know is nothing in the universe is the same for even a split second.
Right.
Right? Everything is changing all the time.
Right.
And yet we don't believe it. And so what we think, of course, is that we get up every morning like every other morning, and then we're going to finish the day like every other day. And, of course, one day that's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
And if we're paying attention, of course, no 2 days are anything alike. But rarely do people pay close enough attention to notice that.
No.
And so an event like this suddenly puts us right there in touch with, wow, it's true. Anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
And then we're just left sort of stunned, right? Because, and I'll be fascinated. I know you'll keep watching. I'll be, and at some point you will be together, you'll be able to tell me what you saw. But so in that, it's like everything comes to a stop because we have nowhere to put this sort of information. So we're just shocked, right? And that shock is an experience of my whole world as I've known it has now suddenly changed. And then you can watch conditioned mind come in to put it back together, okay, to distract from that giant stop of, wow, I'm not asleep right now. I'm really wide awake right now. This has shocked me into wakefulness. This has shocked me out of conditioned mind and into the present. And their conditioned mind comes in to try to put it all back together. Okay? So probably a lot of what it does in a lot of cases is try to make it about you. See if it can make it about something you've done wrong. See if there's a way to distract you from put something together that you're going to focus on other than just being left there in that void of, mm-hmm. Wow. It's just kind of it.
Yeah. And you know, when you're saying all that, kind of along the line of the last two conversations is how habitual it is. And it seems like a habit that there's no control. Like, you know, like, I guess, you know, you're these thoughts come in and you have no control.
That's
hear
right.
Conversation and
yes and what a beautiful opportunity it is to be present and see that happening, because yeah. What you're getting to watch is how conditioned mind is scrambling to put your reality back together with it at the center of your world.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because you say at the center of your world, and that's it, because it's not really you who's the center, it's it that's the center.
Oh, God, let's underline that about 1,000 times, okay?
Yes.
Now, it'll call you selfish if you buy into what it's doing, but you're right. You're not the center of your world. It is. And it's doing everything it can all the time to make sure that continues to be true. That's what that conversation is about.
Well, yeah, because you're really just being forced to kind of watch it. You're not actually doing it.
That's right. Well, you're watching it because you've had years of awareness practice.
That's true. Okay? That's true.
You're meant not to see any of it.
That's
right.
True.
You're meant to just be dragged into an unconscious state in which there's all this conversation about your neighbor and about what happened and what it means and who you are and how it should have been different. And this could, what about you and your family? And what if something happened? And how about, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it,
rather than just
being there.
Yeah, that's right. Staying with the magnitude of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you close to your neighbor?
I didn't really know her that much. So I haven't lived here that long. There were other people in the community who've known her a lot longer. But she's basically right across from me, and you know, I'd see her in the morning when she was in her car. Our cars were always next to each other. So, and she has two children that are teenage girls. So, her and her partner have been raising them, and so I feel really hard for the family, you know.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, may I offer you a little something to focus on instead of what conditioned mind would like you to focus on?
Sure.
Okay. So whenever you think of her, just recall things that you appreciated about her.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, if it was just a smile or a hello or a something about her energy or how she was with her kids or anything.
Mm-hmm.
To just send a message of goodness as she transitions.
Yeah, I like that. I like that because, you know, this whole thing about conditioning and separation and, you know, the whole story about no one likes me, which is a really big story for me, is to encourage separation rather than compassion.
Absolutely so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a great opportunity to do something different.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, this is such a habit, and you know, I can be in meditation, I can see it, I can see I'm getting pulled away, you know, and then coming back, pulled away, coming back, and just being able to disidentify from this, you know, these very, very believable stories that it still catches me with. To be free from that and to be able to experience something else is really that's freedom, right?
Yes. Yes. And that story does take us back to what we started out with talking about Virginia with, right? So once that gets framed, nobody likes me, then everything that happens is just one more proof that that's true.
Yeah.
Is it? No. No. It's just that the person believes it, and so when they're told, see, there's more evidence, see? See, did you see the way she looked at you? See, they didn't. See? They don't like you. Nobody likes you. Nobody's ever liked you. And to start breaking through that. And of course, the best way that we can break through it is to like people.
Mm. Great. Thank you. That's really helpful. That's really helpful.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea, and another great conversation, Sherry. And we are about 2 minutes to the hour here.
Well, then I think we should just say adieu. How about you?
Sounds fabulous.
Because if we don't, you know what's going to happen. There are no two-minute conversations with me. It just doesn't go that way. Oh, thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll see you
we'll
soon.
See everybody. I'll see you, and we will talk with everybody in 2 weeks. No show next week.
All right. All right. Wonderful. Happy holidays.
Thanks. Happy holidays. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.